Welcome to the Ark Church Podcast. On here, you'll find all of our Sunday and Wednesday messages, as well as classes and special services. If you would like more information about the Ark Church, visit us at thearkchurch.com or download our app available to all app stores. Our heart for you is that you would live for God, grow stronger, and make a difference. Enjoy.
We are going to start like we do every time we have healing class with our, here, this is my Bible statement. This is my Bible. It's God's word to me. It strengthens me. It refreshes me. It's medicine to me. I love to read my Bible. Amen. We do. Well, Father, we thank you for this time together around your word again. What a privilege and an honor it is to sit at your feet with your word, just feeding us and enlightening us and strengthening us. And we commit this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we have been studying this whole session a lot on the accounts in the Bible of Jairus and the woman with the issue of blood. We have learned that both of them received their healing. And so I want to focus on that. I'm not going to be talking a lot about them tonight, but I want to talk about receiving your healing, because both of them had to do that. So, and it was their responsibility, but God was faithful and moved in their lives, and they both got what they needed. They got their answers. But I just want to focus on that, the receiving. It's our responsibility to do that. God has provided everything, but it's our responsibility to take that as our own and enjoy the benefits of the provision of healing and deliverance. I want us to go to Mark chapter 10, and then we'll go to, I'll read the story also in Luke 18. And this is the story of Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus was a blind beggar. And we will read about him in these two accounts, and we're going to see some really clear things about what he did so that we can apply those things to our lives and see some good results too, like he did. But let's just start reading. I have that, the one in Mark 10, printed out for you on your notes, if you want to start there. It says, now they came to Jericho. This is Jesus and his disciples. As he went out of Jericho, I don't know what he did in Jericho, but he was there, so he was leaving now. And he and his disciples and a great multitude. And then there was this man named blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus. And I thought, this is so interesting to me. Sometimes we don't get a name. You know, we have the woman with the issue of blood. We have different, the Shunammite woman. We have the Syrophoenician woman. We don't have a name. This one, we have Bartimaeus' name and his daddy. What's that about? So it's just a lot of fun. It's like the Lord just kind of keeps us guessing about things, and I think he enjoys doing things differently in the Word. But we have his name and his daddy's name. And Bartimaeus sat by the roadside begging. Well, he had, as I researched this out, he was a legal beggar. And to be a legal beggar, you had to have a garment, a coat, that identified you, that you could beg legally. It was issued by the government, by their officials. So he had that. He sat by the roadside. He had this garment on, and we'll see that that's an important part of the story as we read on. But he heard the crowd coming, and he wondered what it was about. We'll read this in the Luke 18, but verse 47 here says, when he heard that it was Jesus, because he had wondered, who is this? We'll read that in Luke's account, because both of them are so interesting. They bring in a few little different details. But he heard it was Jesus of Nazareth. So we get some clear knowledge here about when he heard about Jesus, he began to cry out, saying, Jesus, of the Son of David, have mercy on me. Well, he had to know that Jesus had mercy on people. Because when he heard it was Jesus, he thought, I want some mercy. I want something good to happen in my life. And that word mercy is, it includes kindness, compassion, and a pity that wants to do something to alleviate suffering. It's not like, oh, I feel sorry for you. But this pity that is connected with mercy is like, I want to alleviate your problem. I want to help you. I want to make things better for you, solve things for your life. So that's what Jesus was doing. He was showing mercy as he went about. So I know Jairus had heard that he was opening blind eyes, that he was a miracle worker, that he was a healer, a deliverer. He had to, because he called on him, have mercy on me. I believe he said it like that. I believe he emphasized himself on me, because he had heard that he was doing it for other people. I want some of that too. And we want the good things of God, and they are available. Then many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. That word commanded means he used authority there. He said, he needs to come. And so they brought him. They called the blind man, saying to him, be of good cheer, rise, he is calling you, and throwing aside his garment. I love this what he did at this place, at this point in the story, because he threw aside that garment. What he was saying was, I'm not going to need this anymore. I'm not going to need a beggar's garment anymore, because I'm going to be able to see and not have to beg. That statement is strong here in this story. I don't need this. I'm not going to need it. But he threw it aside. He just didn't get up and drop it. He cast it aside. He just, like, with force, he just threw it to the side, like, I'm done with this. Throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. So Jesus answered and said unto him, what do you want me to do for you? The blind man said to him, Rabboni, that I may receive my sight. This is interesting. This word, Rabboni, in some translations it just says Lord, but it means my great one, or oh, great master. It was a very important statement for someone who has a high level of authority, and who has, it was like it was used in like the synagogue for the very highest person in the synagogue. So he was recognized, this blind Bartimaeus was recognizing and giving honor to Jesus as somebody very in great authority and very honored. So he called him Rabboni, that I might receive my sight. Then Jesus said to him, go your way, your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. And I want to emphasize, and we're going to read the story in Luke as well, but I want to emphasize the word receive, because that's what he said. What do you want? Bartimaeus said, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said, receive your sight. So that word receive is what I want to emphasize tonight, because you can receive from the Lord what you are needing, just like Bartimaeus did. Let's look at Luke 18. If you have your Bibles, I don't have that one printed out for you, but it's Luke 18, 35. It says, then it happened as he was coming near Jericho, a certain blind man by the roadside begging. I mean, we know that's Bartimaeus. And hearing a multitude passing by, he asked what it meant. And he, like, what's going on? What's the commotion? So they told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. And here we see the same thing. He cried out. And this, as I looked at this deeper, he shouted, you know, and he had to be heard over there's a crowd, a multitude of people. So he shouted. He had a determination about him. We see something here that we can apply to our own lives. We need to have a determination. When we see that healing's provided for us and we can receive it, we need to have a determination about us, like, I'm serious about this. And he was serious about this, about getting his freedom from blindness. And he said again, as we read in the other account, have mercy on me. Then those who went before warned him that he should be quiet, but he cried out all the more. And as I studied it, man, it's a great deal more. He just cried out a great deal more. I love the emphasis they're putting on, you know, like shouting and a great deal. And you can feel what was going on here almost. Like, wow, there's a lot of emotion here. There's a lot of passion here in Bartimaeus, that he was just very serious, and we need to be very serious when we see what's provided for us. We're going to get this too, because it's what the Lord does in this day, just as He did in that day, because He's the same. Jesus is the same, Hebrews said, forever. And verse 41, and verse 40 says, so Jesus stood still. I love that. He stood still. Faith gets His attention. When you start acting in faith, you have His attention. He's like, ooh, there's faith. I'm going. Where is that faith? It's so recognizable, and Jesus could recognize it. He could recognize it in Bartimaeus' voice. He commanded him to be brought to him, and when he had come near, he asked, saying, what do you want me to do for you? And he said, Lord, that I might receive my sight. Then Jesus said to him, receive your sight. Your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. And that's what our lives should be like. When we receive healing, we should just follow Him even closer than ever before and proclaim who He is so other people can know. That's what you get in this class. We're proclaiming. He's a healer. He's a deliverer. And He is good. He's a good God. But He sat by the roadside and then He got on the road and followed Him. I think it's such an amazing picture of the goodness of God, the mercy of God, the power of God that just worked in this man's life. There's nothing impossible with God. Amen. No matter what you've experienced, no matter what you've been going through, no matter what diagnosis is, whatever, God's greater. Amen. He's got a miracle for you. He's got the mercy, the kindness, compassion for your life as well. On your notes, I have learning from Bartimaeus, and we're going to spend a little time there because I believe we can learn a lot just from following his story and emphasizing some things. All right, he was persistent. I wanted to emphasize that because faith is persistent. It just doesn't quit. Faith doesn't try. It's just not a trier of things. It's a doer. I'm just like, okay, I see healing. I'm just going to try that. Well, that's not going to work. Trying won't work. Persistence will work. Getting on there, getting in the Word, getting the Word in you, getting the message of deliverance and healing in your heart and the goodness of God in your heart and staying with it. Faith just doesn't quit. Once you step out there, the Lord meets you like He did with Bartimaeus. He recognizes faith immediately, and He's there to bring you all the way through. But it's persistent. Bartimaeus was persistent. That's a quality of faith. He demonstrated what the woman did. She was persistent in the woman with the issue of blood we studied. She was persistent to press through to get her answer. She pressed through the crowd, Bartimaeus shouting over the noise of the crowd. He was persistent in shouting over the noise of the crowd. She was persistent in pressing through. As you remember the story, as she'd been in here with us, I mean, she had a lot of opposition. She had to press through the crowd to touch his garment. But she had decreed, if I but touch his clothes, I shall be whole. And apparently, Bartimaeus just had it in him. He had heard that he had opened blind eyes, I'm sure, because he had faith that Jesus would open his blind eyes. So he pressed. He pressed through the crowd, over the noise of the crowd, just like she pressed through. They believed, and they didn't quit. I want you to get that really strong in you. Once you start believing for something, for your healing, your deliverance, your freedom, for whatever, don't quit. It may be a little rocky sometimes. It may seem like nothing's working, but you just don't quit. You stand on the Word and you say, I believe. I'm not quitting. God's faithful. His Word works. It's true. I'm getting this. So get that in your hearts. Be persistent. She knew if she touched him, she would be made whole. He knew if he could get Jesus' attention, he would see. So that confidence that they had as well. So Jesus stopped, and he will stop for faith every time. And Jesus told him to come, and that's what we need to be sensitive to as well. Just whatever he needs from us. If we need to repent of something, if we need to get our relationship right and get things clear, follow to the commands of the scriptures. We need to obey the scriptures, and we will have just be so ready to receive everything the Lord has for us. But He requires some things of us. He didn't hide it. It's in the Word. So if we see it in the Word, and we need to do what He said. And He didn't make this difficult. He did not make it difficult at all. Mark 10, 50, we saw that He threw away his beggar's garment. And that's an action of faith as well. Demonstrated His faith in a bold way. He was convinced he would see and not need it anymore. He confidently threw the beggar's coat away. I can just see it. As you read this story, you can almost see that. Like, whew, he stood up. I don't know how he got to Jesus. Somebody probably had to lead him. But he just, he was determined to get there. And I'm sure he had people that would help him. But throwing away that garment was a huge demonstration of faith. And the Word says faith without works is dead. Faith without corresponding actions will not work. It's dead. There's no life to it. So we have to have those corresponding actions. And that's what the throwing away of that garment was to him. That was a demonstration. That was an action of, I am going to see again. So talk to the Lord about that. What's an action, Lord, that I can use? I mean, I know we always use our words of speaking words of faith, confessing the scriptures. But if there's another action that you need to follow through, ask the Lord, what is that, Lord? Show me what action that I can do to demonstrate that I truly believe. Romans 15:4 in the Amplified says that whatever has been written in earlier times was written for our instruction so that through endurance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope and overflow the confidence in His promises. So everything that's been written as we're reading up Bartimaeus, this is written for our learning. So I want us to focus on learning from Bartimaeus tonight, some steps that I believe will help you. Our goal is to receive. So I believe these steps will help us to really concentrate on, all right, it worked for Bartimaeus, and it'll work for me. It'll look differently in each of our lives, but the same principle will be there. In Romans 10:17, it says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And again, I go back to he heard. He heard it was Jesus, and so he had to heard that he was a miracle worker, that he opened blind eyes, because he knew that if he got to him, his eyes would be open, because he believed in the goodness of God and the mercy of God, because he called on his mercy, have mercy on me. So that he heard. So that is key to our knowing that we can have healing too. We have to have heard the Word. And faith comes by hearing, Romans 10:17, and hearing by the Word of God. So we hear the Word, you're hearing it in here. You can hear yourself say it. You can hear it in teachings. There's so many teachings, good teachings available on YouTube. Wow. I mean, there's just so much that we can hear and we have access to today. And we need to avail ourselves to those things so that we grow spiritually. As we are receiving that Word, we're growing spiritually. We can't see it. It's inside, but we are growing. And faith is coming. He said faith will come when we hear the Word. Hebrews 4:6, Bartimaeus did this. He was bold. Let's turn to Hebrews 4, not 6, I'm sorry. Hebrews 4:16. I want to read that one. I don't have it on the paper, I don't believe. But anyway, I'm going to go there. Hebrews 4:16. It says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain what? Obtain mercy. That's what Bartimaeus was doing. He wanted to obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. The grace of God is an amazing gift to us. It imparts to us what we need to walk this walk, to live this life. He imparts to us. He gives us what we need. But he said, come boldly. Don't cower down. Don't be afraid. God's a good God, and he's a good Father, and he has all kinds of good things for us. He's given us all things, the Bible says, for life and godliness. Well, healing is one of those all things that he's given us. We have to have good, healthy bodies in order to live our lives through in the way that the Lord has for us to live. So come boldly. And he did that. He was so bold. You know, he was probably looked down upon really seriously because he was a beggar. They probably, oh, this beggar, surely he doesn't think he can really get anything from Jesus. But he was bold, and he pressed on, and he hollered, and he shouted, and he wanted the attention of the Lord, and he certainly got it. He was convinced that he could be healed. Hebrews 11:1, and I want to read this out of the Amplified Classic. It's just so rich. I have those. Yes, I have it on your paper. And the words that describe what faith is are just in bold print. I've had them printed boldly for you. Faith is the assurance. Assurance. Just think about that word for a minute. Faith is the assurance. You're sure. You're sure about it. You read in the scriptures about what healing, about what God has for us, what help he has for us, what deliverance, what restoration, what repair, what cure. It's all in scriptures. We've given you some scriptures. We sent home some things with you too on paper. And I know Derek gave you assignment last week. Did you do your assignment? I don't know. Didn't he give an assignment? Okay. I think I gave one the first time I taught too. So we're making you work in here. So, but that's what a class will do. But assurance, you're sure. You read the Word, you see the truth of the Word of God, you have a little card on your desk there with a scripture. That's a sure word. That belongs to you. And you can believe that. You can have faith in that and be assured of that. The confirmation and title deed. Faith is a title deed of what you want. You want healing? Receiving that? That's a title deed. If you have a car or a house and you finally got a title deed for it, that's a big deal. But it means this belongs to you. It's yours totally, free. Free from any cost. And that's what we can see in the Word of God. And that's what our faith, our belief is, that this is already provided. It's free. It's not costing us anything. Wow, that's huge. The things we hope for. We hope for healing, and faith takes it. Hope says, I can expect this because I believe the Word of God. I'm sure I can have it because I believe the Word. I have a title deed if I take it. It's mine, free and clear and clear. And whatever we hope for, we can have the proof of what we don't see, because we don't see it with our natural eyes, but we can see it with our eyes of faith. That's what's so wonderful about faith. You can see it. You can see yourself doing the things that you haven't been able to do. You can see yourself free from the affliction. You can see yourself delivered and, you know, doing all kinds of things that you haven't been able to do. It's amazing. The conviction of their reality is just like, oh, I'm so convinced. I'm so convinced. You can't beat it out of me. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. It's a fact. It's real fact. There's nothing truer and more real than the Word of God. This is God's Word, God who cannot lie, God that created everything, God who made you. He put you all together. He knows to fix everything that's broken. So, wow. Get excited. Excitement is an expression of faith as well. All right, Bartimaeus acted his faith and saw results. And I mentioned out of James 2:17, it says, faith by itself does not have works. Faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. So you can say, well, I believe this, but if you don't have actions to prove that you believe it, then it's not going to work. It's like something that just has no life to it. So we have to have that corresponding action. It's like Bartimaeus did. He hollered, believing, I can get his attention, I can get my eyesight. And then he threw off his garment. That was the huge one. That one really, I think the huger the demonstration of your faith, of your actions, the better, really, because it's like, wow. They really truly believe, you know, because God tests the heart. He really does. He's going to see what you're going to do here. And he tests the heart to see this, if it's real faith. Real faith will work every time. It may not happen tomorrow. It may not happen next week. Hold on. Don't quit. And just keep believing and keep staying where you're supposed to with your faith. And then he showed honor and respect to Jesus by saying, Rabboni, calling him Rabboni. And that means, oh, great one, or my great one, or great master. It was just a lot of respect there. 1 Samuel 2:30 says, for those who honor me, I will honor. He was honoring the Lord, so he had honor coming back to him with him being recognized in the first place, being recognized. You know, there were all kinds of really high-level people from the synagogue probably walking around with him, his disciples, you know. People look at those things and think, wow, look at them. But it's always good to remember God looks at the heart, and everybody, shows no favoritism to anybody. He loves everybody the same. So keep that in your heart too. Like, wow, it doesn't matter what I might look like to people. God sees me as a precious one. He sees me as someone he loves dearly, and he has such wonderful blessings and honor for me as I honor him. Ecclesiastes 12:13. I really love this scripture. It's so plain and clear, but it's so powerful. It says, hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. Fearing God means we respect him and we reverence him and we treat him with just total reverence, and that he's so precious to us that we don't want to do anything that would disappoint him. We don't want to disappoint him. We love him so much. I was talking to my husband this afternoon. Something had happened. He was just the Lord just did such blessed me in such a special way. And I said, you know, if I hear anybody say anything bad about my father, there's going to be some really consequences, because I thought he is so good. He is so wonderful and so good and so beautiful. He's so precious. He loves us so much. And he deserves such honor and such reverence and respect that we don't ever want to do anything to disappoint him. I know I was like that with my mother. I did not want to disappoint her. I wanted to please her all the time. I just wanted to please my mama. And it was really interesting because years later, my mother's been in heaven a long time, but years later, my sister and I were talking. She said, you know, I just always wanted to please mama. And I thought, me too. But that's how we are with the Father, our Heavenly Father. We just want to please him. Lord, whatever it takes to please you, I want to please you. And this is what fearing God is. So I believe, you know, with blind Bartimaeus and what he received, he had all these things working in his life. I believe he's an honorable person. And it's so interesting that his father was mentioned, Timaeus. And I thought, you know, the Lord wanted to show honor to Timaeus. Put his name in this book. It was a great honor. He must have been a good father. He must have really taught Bartimaeus some things about living for God and honoring God. I don't know. We won't know until we get to heaven, but he's one of the people I'm going to look up, because every person in this book I want to meet. I want to meet them and talk to them about these things. So I'm looking forward to that. And then finally, Bartimaeus asked and received. And this is huge. Mark 11:24. Let's turn there. I have to just tell you that this scripture is the first one I learned about how to receive my healing. And this is the one that I would go to every time I needed something, and I still do to this day. I go to Mark 11:24. I go to this scripture to receive my healing. And it says, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. You believe that you receive them right then when you pray. When you pray, do you see it right away? No. But he said, you will receive it. You will receive it. And that's that place of just really grabbing hold and holding on to what the Word says, because I believe that I receive, and I know I'll have it. I know I'll have it. I know I will. And that's where you park with thankfulness. Thank you, Lord. I believe that I have received. You know, it says, immediately Jairus' eyes were open. Well, immediately when you believe, whatever you've believed for, you've got it. That's the same immediately. You may not see it like he did with his natural eyes, but in the spirit realm, if you believe that you receive right then, immediately, you've got it in here. And then you will have it out here. Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
It's amazing. I love it because, like I said, every healing that I've received through these, how many years now? Long time. I've gone to this scripture. I believe that I have received. And of course, and I'm going to share these scriptures that I have on the paper. I'm going to read them in just a minute. But I have that word in me. And I have that word in me, then faith's in me. But I had to do what we're teaching you to do. I had to meditate on it. I had to speak it out of my mouth. I had to go over it and over it and over it and over it until it landed in my spirit, in my heart. Then faith was there. And that's why I could pray this. I believe that I receive healing for this. And I do this personally. You don't have to do this, but if there's some kind of pain or something in my body, I'll lay my hand on it, you know. Okay, I believe that I receive healing for this or whatever. And that helps too, because the Bible says believers shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. So I'm a believer. I can lay hands on myself and I'll see recovery. But this one, I always stay back. I always go back, stay with this one in Mark 11:24. What things soever I ask when I pray, right then, I've got it. Immediately. And then I know I'll have it at some point. My part's the believing, my part's the receiving, God's part is the manifesting out here. He's always faithful to do his part. But you have to believe that you receive right then. When you pray, you write that in a journal when you pray. In a couple of weeks, we'll have laying on of hands, and that's another way you can receive. So if you want to have hands laid on you and at the end of this session in a couple of weeks, we'll do that. We'll lay hands on you, anoint you with oil, and you can receive then, too. But the same thing, right then is when you receive, when hands are laid on you. And that's, you got to hold on to it. You have to hold on to it. Let me see. I have a little illustration. I think it's a lot of fun. But receive means to take, act, get hold of, to seize with a grip that cannot be shaken. And I have a little story to tell here. Several years ago, my sister and her husband were driving out in the country and going someplace. And they passed this house, and there was a pole in the yard and another little pole. But on that pole, they had a rope and a big chunk of meat on the end of that rope. And on the end of that chunk of meat was a pit bull. And it had a hold of that chunk of meat. And I just thought, this is so funny looking, that dog just hanging there on that meat. The next day, they came back by, and that dog was still hanging on to that piece of meat. Now, whether he dropped at some point and got back up there, I don't know. But that, to me, that is such a visual of hanging on. He had that piece of meat he wasn't going to let go of. That's how we need to be with the Word of God. We just hang on and grip it like a pit bull would do a hunk of meat. We just hold on to the truth and hold on to what God said in His Word and not let go. Also, there is a sea snail called a limpet that I haven't ever seen this, but I've read about it, and it's true. They can have a grip on like a rock or something in the ocean, and they cannot get them off of it. People have tried to use a baseball bat or some kind of thing to beat them off of it, and they will not let go of the rock. And that's how we need to be with the Word. I'm holding on like a pit bull or the sea snail, this limpet that just holds on, and nobody's going to get me off of it. Don't let anybody talk you out of your healing and what God has for you. And don't you let go. But I think that those are visuals that we can just really benefit from having that picture of I'm that pit bull. I am not letting go. And there can be challenges, there can be bad days, I'm telling you. There can be painful days, but God is true. And you just keep saying, I believe that I've received. I will have it. Don't get weak. Don't get wishy-washy. Don't go, that just messes your receptive miracle up. It messes things up. You can get back on track, but you've lost some time there. Stay with it. Just stay holding on. Just, I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what it feels like. God's word says, by the stripes of Jesus, I have been healed, and I'm holding on to that. I believe I've received healing for this particular thing, whatever you're believing for, and I shall have it because I've got it in here. I'm going to share these three scriptures I have down here. These are my favorites. And I really, I started my walk of healing with these three. But I wanted to, Isaiah 53, 3 and 5 are just, those words are like diamonds and jewels and gold. They really are, because that's where it shows that the Lord provided our healing for us. Isaiah 53. I'm going to read it out of... you can turn there. It'd be good for you to turn if you've got your Bible. Out of Isaac Leeser's Old Testament translation, he was an American rabbi. And this is taken from his readings, translated out of the original traditional Hebrew readings. And Isaiah 53, 3 through 5 says, he was despised and shunned by men, a man of pain and acquainted with disease, and as one who hid his face from us, was he despised, and we esteemed him not. Verse 4, but only our diseases did he bear himself, and our pains he carried. While we indeed esteemed him stricken of God and afflicted, yet he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and through his bruises was healing granted to us. Amen. I love that word. Healing was granted to us. That word granted is a gift bestowed, given freely, laid up in store, just waiting to be claimed. If you had just, if you got a letter in the mail that says, we have found a whole treasure chest full of these precious things that's been waiting for you. We haven't been able to get a touch with you, but we have it. It's here. Wouldn't you want to go get it? I mean, it's full of treasures and you know, monies and whatever. You can go get it. It's laid up for you. That's what healing is. Healing has been laid up for you. You just have to go get it. And that's what I'm trying to get over to you tonight. You just get it by your faith. You take it when you pray. And you will see the manifestation of it in this realm. But I love that word. It's been granted unto us. It's given freely. It's a gift bestowed. Bestowed. Matthew 8, 16 and 17. This is Jesus fulfilling this. He even says that in this scripture. When evening had come, they brought to him, Jesus, many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, those words we just read in Isaiah. He himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. And I don't know if this helps would help you or not, but I like visuals in my, you know, to think of things that help me visualize things. And I just see things lifted off of me because he bore them. And that's what that word means. It's in Hebrew, it's the word N-A-S-A, it's NASA. And it's lifted off. It's like a rocket ship lifted off the earth from NASA. But our diseases, our sicknesses have been lifted off of us. So see yourself free. See yourself free. Amen. Praise God. Whether you experience it right now or not, see it. Because that's what it's like in the realm of the Spirit. It has been accomplished for us. Jesus fulfilled Isaiah 53 there. And then 1 Peter 2:24, Peter was there at the cross, and he saw what was going on. He saw these beatings that Jesus took. So he looks back at the cross. It says, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes, or that means the blows that cut in, the wounds, you were healed. He puts it in a past tense. You were. It's done. It's finished. It is finished. When Jesus hung on the cross and he said, it is finished, there was a lot of things I believe involved in that. The old covenant was finished. His work on earth was finished. Things were finished. But our healing was finished then too. We can take that as it's finished. It's done. Everything has been provided as we just receive, as we've been talking about tonight. And it is totally finished. But I want to talk too about just a few minutes about he bore our sins. When he bore our sins, sins were the cause of the sickness. That's when sickness entered in the world, when man sinned. So if he took care of the sin problem, it just stands to reason. The sickness problem was taken care of too, at the very same time, completely. Think about that too. Because when you go to the Lord and say, forgive me my sins, you have confidence that he forgives them, right? You should, because he does. And he washes them away. He doesn't even remember them. When you go to him to receive healing and ask him for that healing, believing you receive it, then that's the same thing. It's just done in his eyes. It's complete, because the sin problem was taken care of. So the sickness problem was taken care of too at the same time. It's wonderful. Healing is so wonderful. I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful for the provision of healing. Father, we thank you so much, Father, for what you gave us through Jesus. Jesus, thank you for being obedient. Lord, it wasn't easy. Oh, what you went through for our healing. Those wounds, those stripes, those tearing of your back that caused us to be able to be free from sickness and disease here in this world and live this world, this life free from all of that. We thank you, Jesus. We're so appreciative. We'll never be able to tell you enough how much we thank you that you bore it for us, and we don't have to bear it. We do not have to bear sickness. We do not have to bear disease. And if we have something in our bodies that needs a cure, then it can be cured. If we need something that needs just a whole total repair, it can be knit together and re-knitted and put back in the right order, because you made us in the first place, and you know how to repair us. So, Lord, we trust you. And Father, I pray that everyone who leaves tonight will just go that out with that on their lips. I trust you, Lord. I trust your word. I believe your word. Like Bartimaeus, just refused to be denied what he knew that you could do for him. And it pleased you so, because it was faith that he took it with. So Father, just as you told Bartimaeus, your faith has made you whole, that you'll speak to these as well. Your faith has made you whole. And we give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope this message has blessed you. Don't forget to check us out on all the social platforms. We're uploading encouraging content on a regular basis. For more information, go to thearcchurch.com. Have a great week.